So I'm going to tell you to tell you something about one of the algorithms for Facebook properties of distributions. My co-writers are Harold and Nathan Hasidian. So let me start from giving you some examples of property testing problems. So suppose we have two probability distributions here, Q, that are unknown.
So these are distributions on some n element set. And suppose we can sample from each of these distributions by making queries to oracles. There will be two oracles, OP and OQ. So for example, each query to the oracle OP returns a sample drawn from the distribution P. And suppose also we have some constant precision parameter epsilon. Now, some properties that I will consider involve two probability distributions, and others involve only one. So the first property is called uniformity. we are promised that, so it depends only on one distribution P, and we are promised that either P is the uniform distribution or L1 distance between P and the uniform distribution is at least epsilon. And a property testing is an algorithm that distinguishes between these two possibilities with some small error probability. And if a promise is not satisfied, then the a tester can give arbitrary answer. So the next property is called closeness. It depends on two distributions, P and Q. And we are promised that either P and Q are the same distribution or L1 distance between P and Q is at least epsilon. And then the third property is orthogonality. We are promised that either P and Q have disjoint support, so they are orthogonal, or P and Q have overlap at least epsilon. So in other words, L1 distance between P and Q is at most 2 minus epsilon. And the question I'm interested in is how many samples do we need to test any of these properties? So there are several reasons that motivate our interest to these problems. The most important one is that testing a property often requires only a sublinear number of samples, as opposed to learning the entire distribution, which requires of order n samples. For example, we shall see that testing uniformity requires at most n to 2/3 queries. And for example, if you want to decide whether a distribution is uniform, and the penalty that we have to pay for accepting slightly non-uniform distribution is not very large, then it might make sense to use a testing algorithm instead of exact algorithm. So testing uniformity is useful for estimating mixing time of random walks on very large graphs. Suppose, for example, that we can sample a graph vertex from a distribution achieved by making L steps of a random walk. Then we can use uniformity tester to decide whether L steps is enough to approach the stationary distribution up to some precision epsilon. Testing closeness might be useful if we are trying to compare statistical experimental data and theoretical predictions. Another application would be testing whether a Markov chain is rapidly mixing. Testing orthogonality is particularly interesting problem because it was shown by Wethan that if the oracles generating these distributions can be explicitly described by classical circuits, then testing orthogonality is complete for the class SZK statistical zero knowledge.
When you say that it's linear on the number of samples, do you mean that you want to test the things at the fixed
confidence level, right? You don't want to say with probability 1 is 1.
Yes, it is probability prefers.
Okay, I see. And orthogonality is also interesting, I guess, for graph isomorphism, essentially.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and so this is the plan of my talk. I will start from defining the quantum version of this problem, and then I state I will state our main results. Then I will describe some techniques of getting lower bounds on the classical query complexity that are due to Paul Valiant. Then I will talk about testing orthogonality and its relation to the collision finding problem. And after that, we will consider testing closeness and testing uniformity. Okay, so as I said, as I already said here, we consider probability distributions that are described by, that are specified by oracles. So suppose we have probability distribution P and an oracle OP. So as far as classical property testing is concerned, we don't have to worry about internal structure of this oracle. The only thing that matters is that each query to the oracle returns a sample drawn from distribution P. If you want to define a quantum version of this problem, I will have to make some assumptions about this oracle. And I will assume that the oracle is a classical deterministic function that maps m bit strings to integers between 1 and n. if you want to sample from distribution P, we have to query this oracle on a random uniformly distributed input. So in other words, the probability of some particular outcome I is just the fraction of inputs leading to an output I. Now we can define a quantum oracle that I call O hat P. So this is a unitary operator, and I think this is pretty much standard definition. If we query quantum oracle on input strings x, then it stores a copy of x in the first register and stores the output of classical oracle for p of x to the second register. A property tester is an algorithm that takes as input integers m and n and precision epsilon and outputs accept or reject. And this algorithm is, it attempts to test whether a distribution or a pair of distributions have certain property by making queries to these oracles. And it must give a correct answer with some constant, with sufficiently high probability. this tables, summarizes non-classical upper and lower bounds for the query complexity and our new results. So as you can see, in all cases, the query complexity grows. The query complexity is a sublinear function of n, so it grows at some power of n, which is smaller than 1. All relevant classical results were obtained in these three papers, Bartul, Fortnov, and others testing that distributions are close. Paul Valiant testing symmetric properties of distributions, and the paper by Goldcake and Prawn, sublinear bipartiteness tester for bounded degree graphs. you can see that for testing closeness and orthogonality, that have tight upper and lower bounds, which are n to
2/3 and a square root of n. And for this thing uniformity, we have upper bound n to 2/3 and lower bound square root of n. Now, some of these bounds were explicitly derived in these papers, and others can be easily derived using techniques developed by these authors. So what is our contribution? We constructed quantum testers for uniformity, closeness, and orthogonality. So quantum query complexity is n to 1/3 for testing uniformity, square root of n for testing closeness, and n to 1/3 for testing orthogonality. So you can see that in all three cases, we have polynomial Dedard compared to the best possible classical algorithm. And we can also prove for testing orthogonality, we can also prove tight lower bound n to 1/3. And so we don't have any lower bounds for uniformity and closeness. And so my intuition is that this scaling n to 1/3 is for testing uniformity is tight, and here we don't really know what is the right scaling. Okay, so let me proceed to I'd like to explain how to obtain lower bounds for the classical query complexity, and these results are due to Valiant. So suppose X is a list of M samples drawn from distribution P. So I will say that X has a collision of order K if some element I appears in X exactly K times. So let me illustrate this by example. So this is my sample list. I have one collision of order 1 because element 4 appears exactly one time. Then I have two collisions of order 2 because elements 2 and 3 appears in this list exactly two times. I have one collision of order 3 because element 1 appears exactly three times. And there are no collisions of higher order. Now, if I write down how many collisions of each order I have in my sample list, I get what is called a fingerprint of X. So because the maximal order of a collision is M, a fingerprint of X is just a string of M integers. So in this example, a fingerprint of X would be this string, 1, 2, 1, and the remaining entries are 0. So it is very important that all properties that we are trying to test are symmetric. So it means that we are invariant under relabeling of elements. And it was realized by Valiant that a fingerprint contains all relevant information that we need to test a symmetric property. So what it means is that if some symmetric property can be tested using M samples, it also can be tested using approximately M samples by looking only on a fingerprint of a sample list. So important implication of this result is following. So suppose we have some symmetric property of a single distribution, and suppose we have distributions P and Q, such that a tester is supposed to accept P and reject Q. Now let us fix some number of samples M and consider probability distributions of fingerprints induced by P and Q. And I call them DMP and DMQ. Then if L1 distance between these two distributions is much smaller than epsilon,
then it means that m samples is not enough to test this property. So m is a classical lower bound for the query complexity. Of course, this observation is useful only if we can get an upper bound on this distance. And so this is a simplified version of a theorem from Balian's paper that he calls wishful thinking theorem. So what it says is the following. So suppose we choose some number of samples m, and we consider probability distributions p and q, such that the maximum probabilities are small compared to 1 over m. Then we can upper bound L1 distance between distributions of fingerprints induced by p and q by the following quantity. So it involves a sum over moments of distributions p and q. So in principle, for any fixed pair of distributions, this sum can be easily evaluated. And so this provides a very powerful technique of getting lower bounds. If we see that this sum is much smaller than epsilon, it means that m queries is not enough to test the property. And also this technique can be generalized to properties that involve two probability distributions, such as orthogonality and closeness. Okay, and one can use this wishful thinking theorem to get lower bounds for all problems what we are interested in. So we get square root of n lower bound for testing uniformity and orthogonality, and we get n to 2/3 lower bound for testing closeness. In addition, we can apply this theorem to get lower bound for more general problem, which is estimating L1 distance between p and q with some constant precision. And this is a more general problem, and it includes a special cases testing uniformity, orthogonality, and closeness. And it turns out that this problem is much more hard, and it requires approximately a linear number of queries. So it was also shown in a variant paper. Okay, so let me move on. I'd like to describe a quantum algorithm for testing orthogonality. So recall that, so what is the problem? We have two probability distributions, p and q, and we have to distinguish the case when they are orthogonal from the case when we have some constant overlap epsilon. Let x be a list of m samples drawn from the distribution p. Let me define a quantity r that I call a collision probability. So this is a probability that a sample drawn from distribution q appears at least one time in x. So for any given x, collision probability r is just a number. But because x is actually a random set, collision probability is also a random variable with some probability distribution. So our quantum algorithm will try to test orthogonality by estimating this collision probability r. First of all, we can say that if distributions p and q are orthogonal, then r equals 0 with probability 1, because a sample drawn from distribution q cannot appear in sample list of from distribution p. if distributions p and q have a constant overlap, we can expect that these high probabilities, this high probability R takes values of order M divided by N. So for example, let us consider extreme case when P and Q are the same distribution. Then each sample I that appears in X has probability at least 1 over N, this high probability. And because we have M samples, we can expect that R is at least M divided by N, this high probability. But of course, this is only intuition, and we need to prove this rigorously. And what we can prove is the following clutch deviation bound. So what it says is that if we choose the number of samples M large compared to 1 over epsilon and small compared to N, then this high probability R, well, this constant probability R takes values of order some small numerical constant times epsilon squared times M over N. And so I should mention that proving this requires some technical work, because we will be interested in the regime where the number of samples grows as n to 1/3. And it turns out that in this regime, the standard deviation of this random variable R is much larger than its expectation value. And so we cannot use standard techniques based on Chebyshev inequality to bound this probability. So once we have this large deviation bound for R, we can use a quantum algorithm for collision finding developed by Brasser, Kohler, and Tepp. So this is a sketch of the algorithm. We start from generating a list of M samples X drawn from distribution P. Now recall that distribution Q is generated by some classical deterministic oracle OQ. we can mark all input strings for the oracle OQ such that the output of OQ belongs to this list of samples X. Then it's not hard to see that the collision probability R is just a fraction of marked strings. Now we can use this large deviation lemma to show that the fraction, this high probability, the fraction of marked strings takes values of order M over N. And so we can use the standard Grover search algorithm to find a marked string. And the number of iterations in the Grover search will grow approximately as square root of N divided by M. So if the Grover search does not find a marked string, we decide that distributions are orthogonal. And if we find a marked string, we know that there is at least one collision between P and Q, so the distributions cannot be orthogonal. And so the overall, we have to compute the overall number of queries, and it has two terms. We need M queries to the classical oracle generating P for step one, and we need of order square root of N divided by M queries to perform the Grover search. And if we optimize this over M, we end up with N to 1/3 queries. Now, as you might have already noticed, there is a similarity between orthogonality testing and a collision finding problem. So in the collision finding problem, we have access to an oracle function, And we have to decide whether this function is 1-to-1 or 2-to-1. So it was shown by, and we have to decide which possibility is true. So it was shown by Brassard, Hoyer, and Tepp that the quantum query complexity of the collision finding problem is n to 1/3. A tight lower bound for this problem was obtained by Aronson and Chi. Now we can use this similarity between orthogonality testing and collision fighting problem to get a lower bound for quantum lower bound for orthogonality testing. So what we need to do is to reduce collision finding problem to orthogonality testing. So so here F is the oracle for the collision finding problem, and what we can do is to we partition the domain of F into two equal parts that I denote D1 and D2, and then we apply some permutation sigma, and then we apply this oracle F. Now it's not hard to see that if F is 1-to-1 function, then images of D1 and D2 are disjoint sets. And if F is 2-to-1 function, then this high probability over choices of this permutation sigma, the images of D1 and D2 will have sufficiently large overlap. And now we can define a pair of distributions P and Q. So we introduce a new oracle G, which is a composition of sigma and F. And distribution P is image of the uniform distribution on subset D1 under this oracle G. And Q is the image of the uniform distribution on D2 under this oracle G. By construction, if F is a 1-to-1 function, then distributions P and Q are orthogonal. And if F is a 2-to-1 function, then what we can show is that this a constant probability over choices of sigma, the L1 distance between P and Q can be separated from 1 by a constant. It shows that we can reduce collision finding problem to orthogonality testing, and thus, and so we get a lower bound 10-to-1/3 for orthogonality testing. Now let me move on to quantum algorithm for testing closeness. So recall that we have two distributions P and Q, we have to distinguish the case when they are the same from the case when one distance between P and Q is at least epsilon. Our algorithm will actually use a brute force method. We will try to estimate the distance between P and Q with a constant precision of order epsilon. Probably this is not the optimal strategy, but we don't know how to do better. So the first step of the algorithm is following. So let me define a random variable xi. So it's a certain function of probabilities pi and qi, but takes values on the interval between 0 and 1. I is drawn, suppose I is drawn from a uniform mixture of distributions p and q. Then it's not hard to see that the distance between P and Q is just expectation value of this random variable X. So we can use the standard Monte Carlo method to estimate expectation value of x, and just we get we can estimate the distance between p and q. Now we can use some simple algebra to show that if we want to estimate, say we fix some element I, and suppose we want to estimate xi with some precision epsilon. Then we need to estimate individual probabilities pi and qi with precision of order epsilon times the maximum of pi and qi. We can get this estimate using the standard quantum counting. The only thing we have to check is how many queries we need in this quantum counting algorithm to get the necessary precision. So this is a simplified version of a theorem from this paper by Brassard, Hoyer, Mosca, and Tepp. So what it says is the following. Suppose we fix some element I, and we want to get an estimate of a probability p sub I with some precision delta. We can do it using the quantum counting algorithm that makes of order m queries to the quantum oracle that generates p. M is the largest of these two terms. Now recall what we need to estimate each individual probability pi and qi with precision delta shown here, and if we substitute it into this bound, we conclude that the necessary number of queries is some constant divided by square root of the maximum probability. Now one can easily show that elements I for which this maximum probability is much smaller than 1 over n are unlikely to appear in our sample. And so we can substitute this by 1 over n, and we end up with approximately square root of n queries. To conclude, we can, for any fixed I, we can estimate xi with some constant precision of order epsilon using square root of n queries. And so it translates into an algorithm for estimating the distance between p and q with query complexity of order square root of n. Okay, so this is just a more formal statement. As I said, estimating the distance between P and Q with a constant precision is not necessarily the optimal strategy for testing closeness. So if you look on the classical query complexity, then we know that testing closeness requires approximately n to 2/3 queries. It's actually, it should be O rather than omega. Estimating the distance between P and Q with constant precision requires almost linear number of queries. So it suggests that this problem is more difficult than this problem. So it might happen that it's possible to test closeness of distributions using less than square root of n queries, but we don't know the answer. Yes?
Classical dependence on epsilon the same, 1 over epsilon 2/4? In the classical algorithm. Torso has to depend on
in the classical algorithm for testing closeness.
Yes.
No, I actually, I don't remember how it scales this epsilon, but I think it's something like 1/ε³, but I don't remember exactly. But because epsilon is a constant, we don't have to worry about this scaling. It would scale even exponentially this 1/ε. As long as epsilon is a constant, we don't have to worry about it. Okay, and the final part of my talk will be about distinct uniformity. So recall that we have a single distribution P, and we have to distinguish the case when P is uniform from the case when P is when L1 distance between P and the uniform distribution is at least epsilon. Now, let us ask what is special about statistics of samples that are drawn from the uniform distribution. Suppose X is a list of n samples drawn from P. As before, we can define this collision probability R, which is just a total probability of all elements in X. Now it's not hard to see that if P is uniform distribution, then the collision probability R takes values smaller or equal than M over N, this probability 1, because each term in this sum is 1 over N, and the number of terms is at most N. In fact, if if the number of queries is of order n to 1/3, then this high probability of all samples in this list are distinct. So R is equal to m over n, this high probability. let me say that a distribution P is epsilon non-uniform if it has distance at least epsilon from the uniform distribution. Our strategy will be to show the following statement, that if distribution P is epsilon non-uniform, then this some constant probability omega takes values that are substantially larger than M over N. So these constants, omega and delta, are some functions, should be some functions of epsilon that are independent of n. So if we can show that this is indeed the case, then we can test uniformity by estimating this collision probability R, and deciding whether it's smaller than m over n or larger than m over n. So more formally, I will use the following uniformity test. So it has three parameters: the number of samples m, the relative precision delta, and error probability omega. And it goes as follows. We start from generating m samples from distribution P. Let R be collision probability. Then we are trying to get an estimate of collision probability R tilde using a quantum counting algorithm with relative error delta and error probability omega. If this estimate R tilde is substantially larger than M over N, then we decide that distribution is not uniform. Otherwise, we decide that the distribution is uniform. what we can show is the following theorem. So suppose we choose parameters of this uniformity test as follows.
M is of order epsilon to minus 4 times 10 to 1 third. Delta is proportional to epsilon squared. And this error probability omega is it's actually it's exponential in a polynomial of 1 over epsilon. So it's fairly small, but as long as epsilon is a constant, delta and omega are some constants. Then we can show that if P is uniform distribution, then uniformity test rejects P with probability at most omega. And if P is epsilon non-uniform, then it rejects P with probability at least 3/2 times omega. So now if we repeat this uniformity test sufficiently many times, and we can get estimate of rejectance probability, and so we can decide which one is the case. Now let me briefly sketch the proof of this theorem. So recall that what we have to prove is that if P is epsilon non-uniform, then the collision probability R takes values that are substantially larger than M over N with some constant probability. So the first simplification that we can make is following. We can assume that all probabilities are small compared to N to minus 1/3. The reason for that is that if we have some element I with probability of order N to minus 1/3, this constant probability such element will appear in our sample list X. But then the collision probability will be lower bounded by PI, which is of order N to minus 1/3, which is much larger than M over N, which is of order N to minus 2/3. In this case, there is nothing to prove. So we can assume that all probabilities are upper bounded by N to minus 1/3. The second simplification is that we can assume that all elements in our sample list are distinct. it follows from simple estimate shown here. If M is of order N to 1/3, then probability that the sample list but there is a collision in the sample list is upper bounded by this quantity, which is of order N to minus 1/3. So we can assume that all elements in the sample list are distinct. Now we can use this second simplification to replace collision probability R by the following quantity. Sum up all probabilities of all elements in our sample list without regard how many times they appear in the list. And this quantity is much easier to analyze. We can easily compute its expectation value and its variance. So these are some functions of moments of the distribution P. one can easily check the following facts that if P is epsilon non-uniform, then expectation value of R is substantially larger than M over N. Also one can check that if the maximum probability in P is much smaller than N to minus 2/3, then standard deviation of the variable R is much smaller than the expectation value. And so if the distribution P does not have big elements with probability of order N to minus 2/3, we can use standard a large deviation techniques based on Chebyshev inequality to show that R takes value R takes values that are substantially larger than M over N with a high probability. But if in general case some elements may have probabilities larger than n to minus 2/3, and in this case the standard deviation of R is much larger than expectation value, and so this simple analysis does not work. And so let me say that an element I is big if its probability is greater than 2 times n to minus 2/3. And let us consider a set of all big elements. And W big be the total probability of big elements. Then the analysis goes by considering two cases. In one case, we have many big elements, which means that W big is greater than n to minus 1/3. In this case, if we want to make the collision probability R substantially larger than M over N, it suffices to have only a constant number of big elements in our sample list. Because each big element has weight n to minus 2/3, which is a constant factor times m over n. And we can show that it indeed happens with some constant probability, although this probability is exponentially small in 1 over epsilon. And in the second case, the total probability of big elements is small or equal than n to minus 1/3. So we have only a few big elements. And in this case, what we can show is that our sample list contains, with a constant probability, our sample list contains no big elements, although this constant is also exponentially small in 1 over epsilon. Condition on having no big elements in our sample list, we can apply a simple analysis from the previous slide to show that R, with high probability, R takes values that are substantially larger than M over N. So it's quite a complicated proof, so I wouldn't like to give you any details. to conclude, we constructed quantum algorithms for testing uniformity, closeness, and orthogonality. We get a polynomial quantum speedup compared to the best possible classical algorithms for these problems. there remain several open problems. For example, we suspect that it might be possible to test closeness using less than square root of n queries. And also, we would like to get a quantum lower bounds for testing uniformity and closeness. Yeah, so I think I will conclude here. Thank you for attention.
If you don't have a lower bound in those two cases, do you believe that it's impossible to have an exponential speedup?
Well, at the moment, we don't have even a constant lower bound. So in principle, we cannot exclude exponential speed up, but I would say that it's very unlikely.
Okay.
So as I said, I believe that n to 1/3 is the optimal scale for testing uniformity. There is a chance that square root of n is not optimal for testing closeness because we really used the brute force method. So essentially, we are solving, instead of testing closeness, we are solving a more complicated problem, which is estimating the distance with constant precision. So this gradient might be improved to something like 10 to 1 third, for example. But we don't have any ideas about that. Yes.
So I noticed that the classical upper bounds for uniformity and closeness are the same. Is the best algorithm for testing, for classically testing uniformity, just testing its closeness to the uniform distribution, or?
Yes, exactly.
So follow up to that, have people considered testing closeness to a known distribution that's not uniform? So the closeness here is two unknown distributions. But have they also looked at testing closeness to, you know, some specified distribution?
I think it is not known how to make use of the fact that one distribution is known. So this result is due to Bakuford and others. I think in their paper they have not addressed this question. What happens if one distribution is known?
Okay.
So, for graph isomorphism, have you thought about that? I mean, what would the quantum monadnot be in that case? And so basically, you need to check either if the distribution is the same or if it is orthogonal.
Checking all the permutations of a particular graph. In that case, yes. Number big one or two. So I think we know that the graph isomorphism as the K, right? So I think we could apply this speed up to this problem.
I see. So yeah, my question is whether the same oracle, type of oracle, would work in that case. And what would be the quantum oracle?
So I guess for graph isomorphism, these elements I would be graphs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but basically, the input string for this oracle would be just a random string encoding some permutation. And the oracle is supposed to apply this permutation to some fixed graph.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't thought about it.
Then we can think.
Okay, second.